Welcome to We The Podcast, the show about how the people outside of the billionaire and millionaire class, you know, most of us, engage the economy. One of my favorite parts of being a congressman is getting to meet with the hardworking men and women of this country, especially if they're from my home state of Minnesota. I love the rest of y'all, but you know, home is where the heart is. Whether they are coffee shop owners, construction workers, cops, firefighters, or teachers, they are all part of what I consider this country's greatest invention, the American middle class. But it's getting hard and even harder every day for working families to get by. Middle class jobs that allow people to provide for their families seem to be getting fewer and further in between. That's where unions come in. In fact, few have helped the middle class and working families as much as our union friends. Unions raise wages and worker protections for everybody, even if you're not in a union. But it's more important to understand the union advantage is key. Whether you are a woman in a union, you make more than women not in a union. If you're a black person or person of color, you make more than people of color not in unions on average. The union difference is very important. But one of the great things about our unions is that they just don't work on wages and pay and working conditions. They've always, when they're at their best, done much more. Fight for the civil rights movement, fight for the immigration movement. And nowadays, unions are even leading the way on educational reform. You know, as our educational system becomes more and more out of reach, it's getting harder and harder for men and women who want to work with their hands to get the training that they need. But enter the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades District Council 82. This spring, a few of their members came to Washington, and I met Blake Wurzos, a painter from Minnesota, who talked about his work and how important being a part of a union is and how it allows him to support his family.
My dad, I'm second generation. My dad came out here for this convention.
Right.
This union job afforded me the ability to go to the U. I went to the U of M. I was gonna be a chiropractor. I had the grades, I made it in. And after a year and a half, I decided that that wasn't the direction I like working with my hands.
Sure.
So that's when I came back to these guys. And this union job, I have a 6-month-old daughter at home. This will pay her way through college if that's the way she wants to go.
That's right.
So this really is the best thing for people like much like myself. And there's nothing wrong with what we do. It's an honorable
profession.
And we get paid really well. It's very rewarding.
What would you tell somebody 18, 19, 20 about what if they were interested in what you do?
Well, I tell people all the time about what we do. Mm-hmm. Our wages, our retirement plans, our health insurance is a huge one. We have some of the best health insurance
around.
These are good jobs, and we should be doing all we can to help folks who want to pursue them. That's where Blake's union stepped in. They started a revolutionary 2-year program that grants an associate's degree. That's right, an associate's degree in painting, surfacing, and coding at literally a fraction of the cost. Terry Nelson, longtime friend of mine, also secretary treasurer of the Painters District Council 82, helped to create this program. Here's what Terry has to say.
You know, growing up as a young man, I like to tell this story. My wife's an educator, and when we would go to a party or something like that, people would say, "What do you do for a living?" And right. I'd tell them I'm a painter, and they'd give me that, "Oh, just a painter," and they'd look the other way. So it's that stigma that's placed upon all construction workers, you know, temporary workers, right? We hear that all the time.
Yeah, that's BS.
These are careers for right. people. So as I became the business manager, secretary, treasurer of the Painters Union, and tried to help our Finishing Trades Institute get recognition and move forward, it became clear to me with No Child Left Behind and conversations with educators that we couldn't get or attract anybody interested in our school from the education world because they couldn't get CTE credits.
Now, what is that?
Well, credits towards their accreditation or towards their degrees from a two-year degree school. So a high school gets paid for butts in the seats.
Right.
So if they don't have an articulation agreement with a higher ed, continuing education facility, they cannot really do a business transaction with them because they're going to lose their funding.
Right.
And no public school with being paid for butts in the seats is going to do that. It's just a budgetary nightmare. So they couldn't look at any of our trade schools and say, hey, I think we should form a relationship with this school and send kids over here one day a week. As some of our sister councils, Philadelphia specifically, has an agreement with the city of Philadelphia. They have an articulation agreement, and those folks send students who select to go to these classes one day a week to the training center, and they get college credits for it. So that has created a pipeline for people into pathways into the crafts that we represent, whether it's painters, either industrial painters, commercial painters, drywall finishers,
right,
glazers, inside glass workers, trade show workers, or sign erectors.
Sure.
So we represent a whole host of folks. But the opportunity to get a two-year degree, you can carry that with you, and it takes you into other walks of life so that you can maybe even go off the tools at some day and go into the office, which has really risen our profile, and our contractors are very interested in it.
You know, Terry, I don't know of another union that has its own accredited college. Is this a unique thing you're doing?
No, this is very unique. It's a sea change in our industry. We are the very first one to be able to bestow our own associate's degrees.
How much does a school like this cost? Because I know kids at University of wherever picking up $12,000 per semester. There's a young lady you got on your team who said she paid $1,000 a credit for taking a four credit course just for one class at the college she went to.
Well, that's a great question, because through our collective bargaining agreements with our employers, the students at our vocational training center, when you become an apprentice in our school at the Finishing Trades Institute, all the way to journey person, there is no tuition.
Wow. That's my favorite price.
Yeah, it is free, right?
Yeah.
It's not really free. The men and women of the building trades units that we represent and our employers are putting an investment into the industry and into the future.
Right.
And then the secondary piece is the higher ed piece, the associate's degree. We think we can get them through for about $1,200.
That's awesome.
So it's another 30 credits, and they take those ancillary to their hours that they're at the training center. 144 hours a year for 3 years is what the average is to get through our program.
Well, how do you get into something like that? I mean, I know there's kids got to be getting out of high school and they want to get a good career where they have a skill that is going to help them take care of a family and on through retirement. How do you get into it?
It's pretty easy. All they need to do is contact the Finishing Trades Institute,
right,
have their school counselor certainly reach out to us, but then we have to hook them up with a contractor that has a letter of intent, and then once they're in the system, then they're in for good, and they work for multi-employers. So if they would happen to get laid off on a job site, now they're in the system, and we find them other employment as they move along.
So you can go from apprentice, which is like a newbie, just a brand new person, to journeyman, which is like a skilled tradesperson, for nothing.
Correct.
Well, I mean nothing to you. Other people are paying.
Correct.
But then you can go from there to an associate's degree for about $1,200 a year, did you say?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. And how much can people expect to make after they get out?
Well, these are good paying jobs. Once you become a journey person, you know, you're looking at a little over $100,000 a year with wages and benefits.
Wow. Six figures.
Six figures, yeah.
That is awesome. And so, look, I just, you know, really want to say to you, man, thank you for doing this this thing. What sort of, like, made you knew you could do it? I mean, what was it, the young people you met, or was it just the needs, or what kind of made you feel like, hey, man, I'm going to stick with this until it's done?
You know, I think what motivated me was, again, the stigma that's put upon construction workers out there.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the smartest individuals I've met in the country.
No question.
And, you know, it seemed like everywhere I went, people said, no, you can't do that. And we just didn't take no for an answer, kept plugging away until we got there. It took us about a 6-year uphill climb, putting the right people in the right positions. But once we got on the blood trail, so to speak,
yeah,
we finished it. And I think this will be a sea change for young high school kids and young adults for the rest of their life. It's something that is a legacy we're going to leave behind for the next generations of building and construction trades people.
What in the world is public education doing today to sort of make a path for a young person who wants to?
Well, I think today, when with all the talk of, you know, the building and construction trades model has an apprenticeship program that's been around for over 100 years.
Right.
And that's in the blue collar industry. White collar right now is talking about apprenticeship programs. And of course, they want to water some of those down, but they want to emulate the program that's in the North America's building and construction trades. And I think that, you know, this is just a sea change going forward for those folks. So we just need to keep marching down this path. And I think as it gains some popularity, you're going to start to see high schools with No Child Left Behind now, and some of the pressure of the debt coming out of 4-year colleges.
Right.
You're going to see high school counselors looking to non-traditional schooling, and this is one avenue.
Well, not everybody who comes to you is like an 18-year-old kid out of high school, are they?
No, they're not. The average apprentice that we get in the crafts today is 28 years old.
Yeah. So these are folks who might have tried a few different kind of things.
These jobs aren't so simple either. It takes a lot of training to do what these men and women do every day.
You know, it took us about 13 years with the U.S. Department of Labor to get a separate classification for an industrial painter. And I'll just speak about them for just a minute. It's a separate training, it's a protective coding, and it's about our society and the infrastructure of our society.
Right.
So when we put on a coating that's supposed to last 20 years or 25 years, and it's done improperly, whether it's the steel was blasted improperly, it wasn't recoated in the timely manner, it rusts from the inside out, or it was the wrong mill thicknesses. There's several opportunities for that coating to fail.
Right.
These are high-end performance coatings that require really a lot of skill set. Now, the technology is involved in that too, and measuring it, not only on the blast side, but on the wet and dry mill thicknesses. But there's applications out there now that we're bringing technology to the job site with iPads.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the dew point, the relative humidity, you've got wind speed, everything that's in that atmosphere that could cause that coating to fail. If that coating fails, in most public infrastructure projects, the loser is the taxpayer.
What does this mean for the middle class in our country? I mean, a lot of people have said over the last several years that the middle class is under a lot of pressure, wages have stagnated. But when I start thinking about real educational opportunity for meaningful, important work that pays well, I mean, that's really kind of important.
These are great middle class jobs. Obviously, the pay scale has not gone up as much as we would have liked in the past, but you know, tradespeople into the near future, as we're starting to see the boomers leave, they're becoming very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that it's going to translate to the paycheck at some point. But education and technology is the key. And you used to be able to just, you know, get on a construction site, learn your craft, and move on. Not today.
Let me just say, Terry, we definitely appreciate the painters, coders, glazers, and all the folks do for us. If you ever go over a bridge and it's not rusting out, you might want to thank one of those folks for that. And I think one of the key things you mentioned is it's not simply to make a piece of infrastructure look good. It actually it protects that thing. It makes it last longer. And there's an element of safety as well.
And for Blake, he can't wait to get started with the program.
What do you think about this associate's degree that you can get if you go through the program? You think, is this something that you're proud of in terms of what your union's doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually waiting for it to really get rolling so I can get mine.
This kind of innovative thinking our country should support. Terry, Blake, and everyone working at the Painters District Council 82 should be proud of themselves. I know I'm proud of them. I hope you're proud of them. They're making a real difference for working men and women who are looking to provide for their families at a great job. We should do all we can to replicate their efforts because, like I said, the greatest American invention isn't the internet or the light bulb. It's the American middle class. Good training, good education, and a supportive, responsive union are the key. Podcast. This is Keith Ellison, and I'll see you next time. And hey, do me a favor. Head on over to We The Podcast page on iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. This episode of We The Podcast was produced by Maria Lavadier, Zach Freed, and Brett Morrow.